The views expressed are not necessarily those of KSCJ and Powell Broadcasting Company. This program is not intended to replace the advice of doctors or other clinical providers. Consult with your practitioner to ensure the proper course of action for you.
Welcome to When Things Aren't Going Well on AM 1360, FM 94.9, KSCJ. This program is dedicated to your mental health wellness and brought to you by Family Services, a United Way partner agency. Here's your host, Art Silva.
One. Good morning, Siouxland, and welcome to When Things Aren't Going Well. This show is all about your mental wellness and how you can help yourself navigate the daily highway of life. We hope to educate and motivate you to improve your mental wellness environment. I'm Art Silva, and our show is brought to you by Family Services, a United Way partner agency serving the Siouxland community. Let me introduce my co-host, Brenda Geisinger, the Chief Operating Officer of Boys and Girls Home. Good morning, Brenda.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Feeling a little green, but doing okay.
Okay. Green the day of as opposed to green the day after.
Right.
You know, pretty good deal. So happy St. Patrick's Day to you and to all our listeners. And it's a fantastic day and celebrate the Irish American contribution to this country. So let's have a good one, and I like the way they celebrate it, so it's going to be really good. Today, we're going to share with you the results of the recently released Youth Risk Behavior Survey. This survey was conducted by the Center for Disease Control, CDC, and it's significant because it is the first set of data released regarding youth since the COVID epidemic. The report is extensive and covers several areas. However, today we are going to focus on actions to improve adolescent health and well-being. Specifically, we're going to talk about the areas of substance abuse, experiencing violence, mental health, and suicidality. So let's get started in our conversation on substance abuse. Looking at the survey, the substance use variables reported here include current use of alcohol, marijuana, and electronic vapor products, as well as lifetime use by adolescents of select illicit drugs like cocaine, heroin, methamphetamines, inhalants, hallucinogens, or ecstasy, lifetime prescription opioid misuse, and current prescription opioid misuse are also factored in here. Adolescent substance abuse is associated with sexual risk, experiencing violence, and mental health problems. So we're going to go, they did a survey on this, and we're looking at some of the problems with substance abuse, and I know here in right where we're located in Iowa, we've got a long history of methamphetamine being an issue. And Brenda, how does that affect our business and the children and families that we serve?
So we don't necessarily specialize in substance use and abuse, but we do have children that experiment with it, and it's part of the process of working with mental health. A lot of times adolescents will feel depressed or full of anxiety and may look to illicit drugs or drug use or alcohol to help them get through those moments, and they struggle with that. So it's definitely a factor with the kids that we work with. I think our kids right now in whole in the community and in the state and in the nation, they just want to feel good. They're very depressed. They're sad. They're going to try different things. I know, you know, when we were younger, back in the day, it seems like just the other day, but you know, we experimented potentially. But it's taken on a whole new level. There's scary stuff out there. You know, when you start mixing in fentanyl and going to the extremes of it, it can be life-threatening. It always was, but it seems to be up a notch. And kids are really just looking to be happy, to escape.
You know, you mentioned back in the day, I think, Jesus six-pack. And if you had friends that smoked marijuana, they were on the extreme of the scale. Now we're looking at drugs that kill. We've had a lot of overdose. And one thing on this drug deal, and I think it ties into our border problem. We have to stop the flow of drugs into this country. And we're seeing what they're capturing now is just astronomical. So it's another ripple effect of a problem elsewhere that fills in, and we got a problem here dealing with it. But that's not to exclude methamphetamine. It's produced here. We find a lot of meth labs in the area, So but they've had a good campaign on that. They're making progress on meth. So I got to tell you, it's the kids we got to look out for. It's the kids that we have to make sure we keep a good eye on. I'm Art Silver, and you're listening to When Things Aren't Going Well. And with me today is my co-host, Brenda Geisinger, the Chief Operating Officer at Boys and Girls Home. And we're discussing the results of the recently released CDC survey looking at youth risk behavior. We just talked a little bit about substance abuse. We're going to move on up and discuss now the experiencing violence. This was a new thing that came up, and how violence seen on TV or absolutely having it happen to you is climbing up there, and it's starting to affect the mental health of patients. Experiencing violence is defined in looking at the report. All the poor outcomes, the poor health outcomes from violence. These are three: being threatened or injured with a weapon at school. Never had to consider that. Not going to school because of feeling unsafe on the way to or from school. And being bullied at school are indicators of disruption in the school setting that can also impact academic success. So adolescents who are bullied, whether at home or electronically, are more likely to have multiple sexual partners, to have sex without a condom, to use substances, and to experience depression. Forced sex and sexual violence are also directly related to HIV and STD risk, but also has the experience of trauma, which research has linked to substance use, mental health problems, and suicide risk. So here we go, experiencing violence and looking at that in the categories that we put our kids in. And you know, we don't have the problems we're seeing elsewhere, but the whole gang mentality is still there. And a lot of it ties into the drug business. So it's an awful lot to go on, and you wonder why kids are experiencing the stress that they are. Do we have any children, Brenda, that you see that have come from this background, or maybe a background of the parents that is affecting the children?
I think every child in the area has anger at one point or another, and sometimes kids don't know how to regulate that, and it just comes out sideways in violent activities or expressing that anger inappropriately. And how to channel that and teach kids it's okay to be angry, but how to regulate your emotions and your behaviors around that. Kids right now, they're bombarded with social media, bullying. You know, everywhere they go, there is this underlying current of being angry because people just don't know necessarily how to regulate themselves. And so, yes, we have kids that can be very angry, and it comes out sideways. And part of our job is to teach them how to regulate that. And I'm not saying don't have those emotions, but it's how to behave appropriately with those emotions and express it appropriately, you know, to calmly say those feelings that you have.
You know, looking at the results of this survey, we still see bullying in there, and bullying has moved to electronic bullying.
Yes.
So there's a lot that the parents don't know what's going on. It's not just going to school and coming home with a fight after school and knocking books down. This is getting pretty serious. And there have been suicides as a result of electronic bullying. Anything you could share with us on that area? Have you seen that with any of our children?
I think electronic bullying and bullying in school, it's still there. And it's very mean. As we all know, I don't think parents necessarily know how often it's happening. You know, it's just not the schoolyard teasing anymore. It can get pretty nasty, and kids just feel like, what am I supposed to do with this? And they get impacted with their self-esteem and don't know how to cope with this. And who do they tell? What do they do with those feelings? And it can come out sideways. Like you said, they may become suicidal. They may become aggressive, and it's what to do with that when it's happening. You know, talking, listening as parents is key.
You know, what gets me always is the self-harm, how clients respond to things, and they self-harm themselves. So it's a tough thing to do, to manage. You really look at the child and build up that trust and the skills, but yeah. The kids really take it pretty hard. I think there are a lot of things happen that parents just aren't aware of. And by the time they are aware of it, it's time to get some help. It's never too late. So we want you to know that Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, you can give us a call, look at our website for our programs. We deal with all of this. And like Brenda says, sometimes it's a codependency when you look at substance abuse. But we have a good facility in town that does that, and that's Girls Grants. So we have the services here. The thing is, we've got to get our kids in there and get using these services, because as you can see or hear, it translates right into other standards in their life, their safety, their health at school. So everything has a touch here. So I think good conversation, and we're going to come back the second half of the show and talk about the mental health impact and suicidality. So I want you to continue your early morning chill. We'll be right back with more When Things Aren't Going Well right here on 1360 AM, 94.9 FM, KSCJ.
Let's face it, it happens to all of us. However, the pandemic has compounded all of our lives and activities. Even the simplest tasks seem harder. Hi, I'm Brenda Geisinger, the Chief Operating Officer at the Boys and Girls Home and Family Services. Family Services is a United Way partner agency serving children and families of our community, and we're here to help. If you'd like to learn more about Family Services, please contact us via email, website, Facebook, or phone Mary Pickens. At Family Services, we change lives.
Welcome back to When Things Aren't Going Well on KSCJ. Here's Art Silva.
Welcome back to When Things Aren't Going Well. I'm Art Silva along with Brenda Geisinger. And today we're talking about the recently released portion of the CDC that deals with children. And we try to tie it into our experience with children. So let's continue on. And this part of the show, we're going to talk about the mental health and suicidality of children. So let's talk about the survey. And the survey assesses mental health with two questions. One question assesses persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness, and this is a proxy measure for depressive symptoms. The other question addresses adolescents' perception of their mental health during the past 30 days. The survey includes several measures of suicidal thoughts and behavior. Poor mental health is associated with a host of health risks, both during adolescence and into adulthood. Young people who feel hopeless about their future are more likely to engage in behaviors that put them at risk. And unintended pregnancy. Suicide risk measured by this survey by increasing levels of suicidal ideation, plans, and attempts not only places the life of the adolescent at risk, but also a marker for experience with trauma and other mental health. So A leads to B, leads to C, and this is what we're finding here. Brenda, what are we experiencing? What are we seeing in this area with our children?
I think what CDC really showed us in the survey and the results of the survey, you know, 4 out of 10 kids are experiencing sadness, and 1 in 5 kids considered doing suicide. That is a lot. And 1 in 10 actually attempted. So that's like 10% of our youth are attempting suicide. And that's scary. And what I've seen in the last couple of years, kids are coming in severely, severely depressed. They've thought about suicide. They've talked about it. And I think that's really a result of the stress they have gone through, the isolation with not having school, seeing their parents maybe lose their job or a family member passing away, and their sense of now what? What's going to happen next? And finding a purpose and hope is kind of what we hope to walk them through. But it's very alarming, the statistics that are coming out about youth, the experiences of sadness. You know, 4 in 10 kids are sad. That's 40% of our youth that are just really, really struggling. And then when you hear again about, you know, 1 in 5 have considered suicide, that's alarming. And that is what we're seeing with the kids we work with. It's not just this little set over here. It's everywhere with all of our youth in the United States. And I think it is a result of being isolated, stressed, withdrawn, and just now what do we do?
Those are some pretty shocking numbers. And they correspond pretty much to what I was looking at in terms of an average. We found out earlier through an Iowa survey that was done, a couple of things came out. We're going to focus on 11th graders right now, and the 11th graders agreed to do this survey if their parents weren't told. So there's something there. So they did this survey, and what was really astounding, and this is Iowa numbers, that in the 11th grade, one out of four girls, females, have considered suicide. If you took 10 kids and four of them, you know, are going to do that, it's amazing. It's crazy. It's not good. It's just not good. So the kids are under a lot of stress. It falls downhill. Brenda gave a lot of reasons why. But we have some, you know, it's something that we all have to get together on. The school plays a large role in this. I will say this, looking back, Sergeant Gill visited us a while ago, and he talked about the community and what's going on in the community. And he stresses the cooperation between all agencies, and we have to watch our kids. And but they got a really neat program because we were very considerate of the violence part of the deal. When the kid sees violence in the home, and the police come in, it's very traumatic. And then what do you do with the kid the next day? Well, they have a program. Our Sioux City Police Department has a program, Have a Heart. And they go into their vehicle and they hit a little icon. And on that icon, the school is advised that something happened in this kid's life last night. They don't go into the detail on the event. But what they do talk about is the fact that he might or she might have a rough day at school today. So be aware of that. This all ties into the mental wellness of a kid. If you're coming in with that problem, how many problems can you handle? I mean, the kids are really, and kids need friends too, because, you know, they talk to their friends, and that just expands the network a little more. So there's a lot going on. Our kids are really at risk. The new emerging trends right now, the kids are looking for school connectiveness, parental monitoring, and also a factor affecting them, and this, we see this in the homeless problem, unstable housing. So these measures all increase our understanding of protective factors for the youth and social determinants of health. Both are very important to improving adolescent health. School connectedness and parental monitoring are important protective factors. I want to say that again. School connectiveness and parental monitoring are important protective factors for sexual behavior, substance abuse, violence, and suicidal thoughts and behaviors. Increasing or experiencing unstable housing, however, can increase students' risk. Youth who experience unstable housing are more likely than their stably housed peers to experience violence, use substances, and have a higher rate of poor mental health. So, Brenda, it's tough. Have we had any experience with homeless children coming into the agency?
I think some of our children experience not having a home, or the home that they live in is not necessarily in a safe condition. I think when we're talking about having a stable home, it's having also a bed or having food. We've had kids that have struggled with both of those, you know, not having a bed to sleep in or not having enough food in the house. And school quite often is a meal for those kids and gives them that energy. And we talk about school connectedness as getting the kids involved in activities, you know, whether it's drama or sports, communicating with the teachers, and really having that connection with friends and being involved in activities. You know, going to the library, having somebody to talk to at the lunch table, and having that sense of routine. I know in the last couple of years, routine was in question. What are we going to do today? Are we sitting at home in isolation, or is school going to open up in a week or a month? Nobody really knew. And so it's finding those routines again and offering that stability to our kids in the home and in the school. And then the other piece is, as a parent, is really listening to your kids when they're talking and when they're not talking, watching those behaviors. Are they sleeping okay? Are they, you know, dressing differently or being safe? It's listening with your eyes, but also listening with your ears. You know, our kids don't want to listen to us preach or give advice. They think they know everything. That hasn't changed in all the decades. But really just listening and being empathetic to what they're going through.
Well, try to wrap that up. We look at parental monitoring, defined here as parents or other adults in their family knowing where students are going and who they are with. That's a key protective factor for adolescent health and well-being. Although there were some differences in the measure by sex, race, and ethnicity, sexual identity, and sex of sexual contacts, students overwhelmingly said that their parents mostly or always knew where they were and who they were with. So that's a positive note on getting back, and it's right back to the parent. So we're going to kind of, coming up on the end of our show, we want to wrap up a few of these key things. It was an impressive survey, and there's a lot more information that we could go with you, but we're just trying to highlight some of the needed areas. So just to kind of wrap it up, increase access to needed services by improving school-based services and connecting youth and family to community-based services of care. We have a ton of care in this business. I talk about Heartland Counseling over in Nebraska. Our family services and Boys and Girls here. There's tons of help out in the community if you need to get help. So moving along in the new trends, I think we kind of get back to the importance of the family, the importance of oversight with the children, the important role that the school plays and is going to continue to play. I think our kids are dealing in a much more complex time. I think they're growing up faster and they're learning quicker, and they're experiencing a lot of life, good and bad, at a fast rate. So it's a lot of work to do. It's promising. We're seeing results. We're seeing trends. But we're also finding pockets where we have some problems. So with that, we're coming up towards the end of our show, and every week we end our show with a joke. Humor is medicine for the soul. So here we go. You know you overdid it on St. Patrick's Day when you think you're kissing the Blarney Stone and then it kisses back? Ooh. Yeah, it's a good time. Sounds like a recipe for a real good time. Well, Brenda, I want to thank you very much for your expertise today and sharing that with us. And I want to thank our listening audience. I want to give a shout out to the Briarcliff University women's basketball team. Great season. They made it to the Big 16 at the tournament. They were fun to watch all year. I want to thank them and wish them the best going forward. When Things Aren't Going Well, we'll air next Saturday morning at 7 a.m., and our guest will be Christy Miller-Alt from Big Brothers Big Sister. We'll be right here on 1360 AM, 94.9 FM, KSCJ. Your homework this week is to go out and have a good laugh. May the sun shine on you.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Happy trails.
For more information on the services provided by Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, see them online at boysandgirlshomeiowa.org, or you can call 712-293-4700. To get more information about family services, residential treatment, the Opportunity School, the Siouxland Family Center, and more. At Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, we change lives.